Nashville is a big, sprawling city with some old neighborhoods near the center of town. Those older areas sit along the Cumberland River. It overflowed last year in a 100-year flood. The water inundated Clinton Toy's house at the bottom of a small incline near the river.
Finally, I looked out front, and it was up coming up over those steps. And so I said, I barely made it out, you know.
Toy spent last fall wrangling with insurance adjusters and paperwork and contractors and tools. Now he's home, and he's pretty satisfied with the results.
What color is this on the wall?
I forget what kind of green they called it. I got an extra bucket of it. They only can paint one coat. According to the insurance, they can only put one coat of paint on them. So I need to get me a brush and get back behind this, cut it right there.
Toy didn't get to start repainting his walls for a couple of months after the flood. In the rush to evacuate, he left his pills behind. Toy has a psychiatric disorder, and after a few days without medication, he landed in a state psychiatric institution, but he wanted out.
I think having this home has helped me want to stay out of the hospital more because it's been responsibility, you know, because when I was in there almost... You got behind, you know, and then that's one good thing about home ownership. It gives you a motivation to want to stay out of the hospital and, you know, try to make something of your life.
Before the flood, Clinton Toy had spent 5 straight years out of the hospital. It was the longest he'd stayed out since he was diagnosed with psychosis at 17. Now he's a 41-year-old guy with a job making sandwiches and a long to-do list of home repairs. He's got plans to go fishing. And no plans to return to the state institution.
Even though sometimes it's sad and hard, you know, you say, sometimes I think it'd be easier just to lay in that hospital, you know, and get free food or whatever. But then you think, well, what kind of life is that, you know?
That's the question Marie Williams started asking herself in the early 1990s. She was a caseworker with homeless mental health patients in Memphis. Williams says she eventually realized for most of her clients, not having a steady place to live was the biggest obstacle to getting their lives together.
Like, I would work with them in homeless shelters, you know, and it's, if you don't have a place to go back to, it really impacts your ability to recover and move forward.
With that in mind, Williams earned a social work degree. Then she did a fellowship at the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development in Washington. When she returned to Nashville, she was on a mission to help develop housing for people with mental health problems. She landed a job with the Tennessee Mental Health Commission and got to work.
And we focused on Knoxville, Memphis, Nashville, and Chattanooga. And we went across the state in those communities. One person working with four communities, we brought in $4,920,000 and created 801 options.
That was in 1 year. In the subsequent decade, Williams and her team have developed a range of options from private homes like Clinton Toy's to clusters of apartments to group homes. All told, the state of Tennessee has ponied up only about $25 million. Williams and her people across the state use that money as leverage to raise more money so they can build and renovate more housing.
We brought into this state $400 million.
She says it came from all kinds of places. Federal Home Loan Bank, the Tennessee Housing Development Agency.
Local foundations, local banks that actually said, we want to do something about this. Housing and Urban Development, USDA.
And in a decade, they've created 9,800 housing opportunities around the state. Urban, rural, you name it.
Which to me is, it is a staggering number for a state the size of Tennessee.
Bob Kukab heads the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency. In the same spell that Marie Williams helped develop more than 9,000-plus housing opportunities in Tennessee, a smaller state than North Carolina, Kukab figures North Carolina's created less than a third of that number targeted for folks with mental health problems. And Kukab should know. He's got his fingers in pretty much all of the low-income housing and special needs housing in North Carolina.
I am determined to call Tennessee and find out a little bit more about it because we've made significant investments in this approach and our numbers are what they are. So I'll be interested to see how they possibly could have produced 9,000 units. That's a lot.
Tennessee is ahead on the number of units. The state is spending less to get them built, and Tennessee is seeing results. Bob Curry is Marie Williams' right-hand man. He also started out as a caseworker with homeless mentally ill people and helped many of them move into independent housing. Framed photos of those houses line his office walls. Curry talks about one pair of brothers, both mentally ill, both in and out of state institutions and living in public housing. 5 years ago, he helped them cobble together the money to buy a condo. The state chipped in enough so they could pay their mortgage with their Social Security disability money.
Over the course of their 30-year mortgage, the public will save $180,000 on the lack of rental subsidies being necessary for them. By investing a little bit, by investing about $30,000 to reduce their mortgage payment to where it was affordable, the public saved $180,000.
Curry says the brothers are doing really well and, for the most part, staying out of the hospital. Those kinds of successes are becoming apparent in the state's mental health institutions. In the past 2 years, Tennessee has been able to close about a third of the beds in state institutions. That's reduced costs. And in contrast to North Carolina, the beds in Tennessee's mental health institutions are never full. That's reduced waiting time for people who do need those beds, down to almost nothing. During the last fiscal year, Curry says about 13,500 people sought admission to a state hospital.
Of those, there were four people who had to wait more than 2 days, and those waited because they wanted to be admitted to the institute, the hospital closest to their home. They could have been placed otherwise sooner.
So 13,500, four of them waited more than 2 days.
That's correct. Four people waited 2 days because they wanted to be close to home.
If they had been willing to go someplace else slightly further away,
probably within 12 hours, they would have had a hospital bed.
Curry says that's because when Tennessee closed beds in its state institutions, the local treatment and the housing were in place for people who needed them. People like Clinton Toy, who's happy to be home after last year's flood.
So I'm just thankful to have a life, you know, a little bit of a pretty good life. And I try to be as normal as I can. I had my fishing poles behind my doors.
I saw those.
I like to fish, and that always, like, cheers me up, especially if I can catch a fish, you know.
His story plays out in stark contrast to North Carolina, where psychiatric patients often wait days in local emergency rooms for a bed in one of the state institutions. And when they're discharged from that state facility, they wind up in institutional places like adult care and family care homes because often that's all there is. Rose Hoban, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.